It's fair to say that Luke Howarth has not let his sight loss get in the way, whether it's in everyday life, employment, or taking on a TV programme. So to tell us more, Luke, thank you for joining us.
No problem, anytime.
Tell me first of all, Luke, a bit about you.
Okay, so I've just turned 30, done a lot of different things, worked in retail, then went abroad and worked in travel and tourism, and then come back to England, and unfortunately I had a car accident which caused me to go blind. So I'm registered as severely sight impaired now, they've changed it round. We're in rehabilitation and yeah, come back to life and found a reason for living, really, to help others in the same situation.
We talk about people losing their sight dramatically sometimes, and that there seems to be different ways that people cope with that.
What I learn is that I studied psychology at university for like 2 weeks, but I did it as for my A-level as well. And what I found is that it was very closely related to the bereavement model. I basically grieved for my eyes. And yeah, it was a hell. I was in a coma for 2 months, and then I come out of that. And then as I was coming off the medication that they were giving me, I realised that I couldn't see properly. And then, you know, you come out of it and you realise that you haven't got your eyes. So you start grieving for your eyes. You go through depression. You have anger, especially towards family and friends. It's like an emotional roller coaster.
I lost my sight over a gradual period of time.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to happen eventually at some point in my life. So I was kind of prepared, I suppose, in that way. But I still found it quite difficult when it kind of finally went, because like yourself, I'd done a lot when I was younger, you know, out and about a lot, travelled a lot as well. And that seemed to be almost taken away from me, and I kind of struggled to hold on to it for as long as I could. Mm. But you know, how did you cope with that? Because you said you were quite an active person before.
Yeah, I don't know, to be honest. I just, initially, I still say the same now, that I will not let this beat me. And I'm very, very determined, and I will not let my blindness stop me from doing anything. The only thing that I can't do now is drive. But luckily, thanks to access to work, people can help you. And so at the minute, with my job role, I have a driver who drives me around to the places that I need to be. You still go back into a certain time, you know, when you're trying to watch telly, for example, and can hear it, and you just think, oh, I just wish I could see that, you know, when someone slaps someone in Emmerdale or something like that, you're thinking, who slapped who? And it's like, it is a bit like, oh, you know, so you do go back to it, but mostly I think you just get used to it and you learn to live with it.
You talked about the kind of depression and the anger thing there, and it probably sounds unusual to people that you can get angry with your friends and family who are there to try and support and help you. But, you know, is it that frustration which just has to go somewhere?
For me, it's the fact that they will never, even though as much as everybody tries to understand it, they will never understand what you can see. And at the minute, I'm actually looking at doing a bit like a blog through my eyes, basically. And I explain it to my new support worker, what I can see, and she's on a camera and trying to show that. So it's easier for her to understand what I can see. One eye, I've got no vision at all, and the other eye, I've just have 10% in the top, but it's still very, very blurry, and it's just light definition, really. You know, at night time, it's just like being completely blind. I can't see anything. But look, I'm still lucky enough to just have that little bit of vision, so I can explain to people what I can see.
Was there an event or a particular turning point or something within yourself that you could have thought, well, I need to get things back on track, you know, I can't keep going on like this?
I turned quite a bit to alcohol, and having a half a bottle of vodka every other day, and think, oh, it's just your way of coping, and then swore in front of my grandma, and I respect and love my grandma so much, and I woke up in the morning and I thought, I cannot believe I did that. So then I just literally went through dry January, went for like the other 3 months, February, March, April last year, just didn't hardly drink at all, you know, just had the odd beer here and there, and just proper pushed myself to get a job. My family in particular, my mum and my godmum, they said, you know, get a job, it's something to focus on, it'll be a lot better for you. And I got the job in October, and I proper pushed for it. My mind's a lot more active now and doing something and helping people, and it's like I've got a purpose. But I just feel, it's just reminding me that I've just got so much more to give.
Your family have obviously been really supportive
through
the whole period, because it is a lot to learn to do things all over again and assistive technology and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, I threw my iPad like 3 times through the hospital window, like just because I was just getting so mad at it, just because I couldn't see it really, and I didn't know what it was doing. And for me, I've had to teach my brain a new way to learn stuff, which is, it luckily because I'm so young, it's picked it up and it's really good. And if it wasn't for technology, I wouldn't be able to have a life, I wouldn't be able to work. But now I can do all the texting and everything, and sending emails and everything with all of the help of assistive technology.
I mean, I sit here with the iPhone and I can check my emails, go on the web, banking, buy things online.
Yeah.
That's probably something which is really surprising still to many people who are sighted. Do you think there's still barriers and stereotypes out there?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I think that everything is. And that's part of the reason why I went on to a TV programme just recently, just to try and get rid of that stigma that's attached to blind people, or not just blind people, anyone with a visual impairment. And you look at me, it's not noticeable that I'm blind. You know, if I didn't have my cane, or I don't have a guide dog, but if I didn't have any help at all, then everyone would just see me as normal and just go bumping into me. I think that there is a massive stereotype out there, and that's one of my personal aims, is to try and get rid of it, because there should not be the stigma attached to it, because at the end of the day, we've all got brains.
Do you think people are surprised that someone who's blind, has a job and goes out on their own and uses technology? Do you still come across that?
Yeah, not so much with my friends, because they all know that I'm just determined. But with new people that I meet, it's like they're just in awe. They just absolutely in awe. They all say, "I can't believe you can do that. I can't believe you can." I said, "Well, why not? It talks to me. I can still do it." And they all go, "Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing." And it's like, well, no, it's not amazing. What's amazing is that you think that. You think that people can't do anything when actually, and I think a lot of visually impaired people are in a better position in a way, because we understand things a lot more and we have more empathy, especially for other disabilities and things like that.
Now, you went on to employment. Tell me about your job.
I work for a charity called Sightline, and it's a helpline service that operates in the evening between 6 and 10 p.m. Supports people, gives them emotional support and practical support as well. All my volunteers have a visual impairment themselves, so they know what it's like when someone's just been diagnosed, even if it's been 10 years. They know the emotions that you go through when you have sight loss, and they're all fantastic. And it's a great service out there, because it just helps people when they're feeling more lonely. And I think as well, if I'd have known about Sightline, I don't think I'd have drunk as much when I was.
Was it difficult to find, help or information beyond the family?
When I actually got diagnosed, I actually thought that my eyes were going to come back, because I thought that, I'd just come out of my coma and I was, coming round, and I was just on that many drugs at the time with morphine and whatever. You can't think about anything clearly. As you start coming round, and I actually got diagnosed, and I actually said to the ophthalmologist, I said, "So how long is it going to take my eyes to heal?" She said, "I don't think they'll ever come back." And I was like, well, I come out of that and I just cried. I just cried on the door. I fell down the door and just cried, because it's just devastating to hear. This is now your life. But like I say, you pull yourself back. My friends all come in that weekend, because I needed to speak to them all. They were all Googling on the phones, getting me numbers to ring. And the RNIB put me in a lot of in touch with different charities in my area, like my local blind society.
You mentioned earlier you have gone on to a television show. Tell me more.
Yeah, I'm actually going on to Who Dares Wins when it comes out on the next season. I went up for filming in January, met Nick Knowles, and the reason that I did that is just to... I just found the application. I thought, I'm going to apply for that, because it's something that I can do. I don't need to be able to see. It's all done audio. They ask you the questions and then you tell them the answers. I can go and do it. Production team was absolutely fantastic. They walked me through a number of times to make sure that I could do it. Walking onto the stage, I actually whacked my stick into Nick's my cane. Sorry, not my stick. I whacked my cane into Nick Knowles's leg because that was the idea. Just so I know where he is, so I don't go walking into him. It's fun. It was an experience.
I know you can't tell us how it all went, but...
I can't. You'll have to watch to find out more. Yeah, definitely.
So you've come through this, Luke. You've come through the other side. What's next?
Well, next, I've signed up through the RNIB, actually. I was looking at your events you do. And actually, there's a sky jump going on in September. I've just signed up for that. So I'm going to be jumping out of a plane on the 23rd of September up in Grange Over Sands with the RNIB.
That's something to do, I suppose.
That's my next challenge. And then after that, I'll be thinking, right, what can I do now? I just really want to show to other people, because I'm quite switched on, and I just want to show people that there are no barriers in the way. We can all help each other. There is help out there for everybody. And, you know, there is nothing that we can't do, and I'm a great believer in that.
I was just going to say, look, you know, if there are people going through this right now, families, friends, the individuals themselves, you know, and you know, it's a really positive message you're giving there, but it's a difficult message to get across.
It is, yeah, because everyone's got to come to it in your own time. Potentially they're grieving for their eyes, but there will be something, you know, people will realise eventually. When you get to your lowest point in the depression cycle, you just switch. It's like a switch in your head, and then you can actually start seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. And bit by bit, and more gradually, you're coming out of that and realise that you can actually have a life again. There is nothing that visually impaired people cannot do. I'm a great believer in that.
And that support is out there as well to help people back on track. You just have to look for it.
Absolutely. If anyone is ever feeling a bit low or anything like that, or wants signposting, then please feel free to ring my helpline. The number is 0800 587 2252, and that's open between 6 and 10 p.m. every evening, 365 days a year. And my volunteers will be more than happy to talk to anybody that's going through a bit of an emotional roller coaster at the minute.
Luke, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Hugely positive story coming out of such a tragic event. And just thank you for telling everyone on RNIB Connect Radio.
No, thank you very much.